I want to thank, first of all, to God, the opportunity that I have to be here in front of you at this hour. To me, this is an answered prayer from God, and I will explain you why. You are in the range of being 38 or 40 years, and you were a junior or a senior in 1990 in Bible school. That was one of the first times that you saw my face, and I saw you first. I believe so. But I don't remember any of you. I don't know if you remember me. It was 1990, the first time I came to Athens, and we visited Bible school. And the brother who brought me here made me speak English when he knew they couldn't speak at all. I was trembling. I was so ashamed to be in front, but I want to say something. Because after all, it was just young people. So I got there, and all what I could say was, God bless you. You're good. You're beautiful. Thank you. And that was it. But that same day, that brother brought us here because it's going to be a baptism. A young man, decided to be baptized, and we came here to Eastside. When I entered this building, I was amazed. You know, I'm from Mexico. Never been in a building like this. And when I saw somebody baptized in here, very privately, I talked to God. And I asked Him, God, please, don't take me from this world until I will come here and talk and edify the church. Tonight, it's a great night for me. And I'm so thankful to God that He gave me this opportunity to be in front of you. Even though my English is still not perfect, I believe that I can say something that you must be edified. Sorry to be late for the service. It's not because I'm Mexican, even though we have that bad reputation. And, you know, very worthy. I mean, we all, I don't know what's wrong with us. But I came late because we have worship service from 3:45 to 4:45, where I preach. You don't know, I've been preaching for 15 years here in Athens, in North Jefferson Street, 1005. There's a small building that says Iglesia de Cristo. We're there. We're there, and you're welcome to be with us at any time. And you will hear a great preacher preaching there in Spanish, okay? I don't know in English, but in Spanish, you'll hear a good lesson. And so, I was supposed to show you some pictures about the trip that my wife and I just recently made to Guatemala. But also, thanks to the elders and to Steve that gave me this opportunity, invite me to come back here and talk to you a little bit about the work that some preachers that you support in Guatemala, what they're doing there. And let me see if I can turn this. I don't know nothing about this, but let me see. What button? Okay. Yes. What about the pictures? It should be showing some pictures first. Well, let me see. We spent 20 days between Guatemala and Mexico, and I want to concentrate more in the preachers that you support. I took 323 pictures, and I'm not attempting to show all of them. I'm just going to be concentrating to show you some of the pictures that we took over there so I can show it to you. Okay. Let me just start again. I'm sorry. I think you were right. Guatemala and Mexico trip. Let me just say something first. Meanwhile, praying, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. In this particular passage, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about to the Colossians that God will allow him to preach in a different areas. And what he mentioned is that God, in certain way, has opened a great door for him. We as Christians should be taking advantage of any opportunity that God will present to us, either here in our own community, in our own society, or wherever He wants us to go. For us, it was a great opportunity, this trip that we took to Guatemala. Another passage I talk about taking opportunity, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Paul is talking to the brethren in Ephesus, telling them that he had desire to go to them, but also he wanted to take this opportunity which God has presented to him. Again, the same idea. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. This is a very interesting passage. If we will have time, you know, to study it in different ways, it will show to us that Paul has something on his mind. He wanted to go and to preach what we call now Asia Minor. He really has a whole plan designed. He was ready with his partners to go and preach in these regions. But God just forbade him to go there. For any reason that at that time Paul didn't understand, and God didn't want to tell him why, we should also respect God's silence. Sometimes we have something that we want to do, something that we want to do in our life, and we design all the plan and believe that that's what we want to do, and God needs to support us, and sometimes God doesn't support that plan. We need to respect God's silence also. So after trying to go to Phrygia and Mysia and Bithynia and several parts, just God forbade him to go there. Verse 9 says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" It's kind of ironic that it was a Macedonian, in Spanish says a Macedonian man, which, and I say ironically because the first people who received Paul and who were the first people with Paul preaching in Europe, which is in Macedonia and Philippi, it wasn't a man, but it was ladies. They were girls who were the ones who opened their heart to God's message. But God presented to him, you know, this opportunity. And Luke says, that's another point, probably, I don't know, Luke was Christian for this time, but at that time, Paul in a certain way met him and probably converted him to Christ. And now Luke is one another follower of Christ and one companion of Paul. And he will help Paul on his trip as a doctor. So Paul went there to Macedonia and preached. And I just want to use that phrase to tell you that for the last 3 years we have decided to give our hand to help, being confident that the word is for God. My family is a great supporter of us preaching the word of God. They have supported us here in Athens. They support me and my wife when we were preaching in Texas. And now in these trips, that every year, it looks like longer trips, they are very supportive to us. Becky, she just designed a good plan and leave a long list for things that they need to do. And every day, it doesn't matter where we are, she tries and look for the way to check on them. Are you doing this and checking on them? They say yes when we come back with sometimes find out that it was not yes, as we want to say yes, you know. But it's still they're doing their part. And we are so proud of our children. As a matter of fact, one of them worshiped with you when Oscar left us 3 years and a half ago. And he told me, when I asked him, "Where are you going to worship?" He says, "Isai, to me, God knows that a peace came to my mind. A peace came to me. I'm not here just to tell you things that you would like to hear. I'm telling you the truth. You, as a church, has won a reputation, not just here, but in different parts where I've been preaching, not just in this country, but out of this country, in Mexico, or in this particular case in Guatemala, you have a very good reputation as a church. Even though they don't know you personally, they know that the brethren that worship here has love and passion to do God's work. And I don't want to leave this pulpit before I told you these things. You should feel so good about what you've been doing. But don't stop. You need to continue. You have to continue working the way that you've been doing it and improve. So the influence, the positive influence that you have, continue reaching people, not just here, like I said, but everywhere. I was talking to Brother Ventura, one of the preachers that you support, and he took me to his office in a little room where he has his computer, some books. He said, I want to show you something. And he went to an old box and he started pulling some of the pictures. Said, you know what? I want to show you this picture. Do you know these children? It was one of the Brian's girls, I guess Grace. One of the brother Mike, her daughter. And some other, Cameron was there. I said, sure, I know them, but they were like a 6 or 7 years old, you know. Well, he keep those pictures that long time ago you sent. No, not a long time ago. But some time ago you sent to him. He keep it as a great treasure to him. Say, these are my children. I love them even though I don't know them. He has you very well kept in a wooden box that he kept it. That's something very valuable. Say, these are children that belong to the church that support me. And you see some proud on him, you know, that he's saying it with confidence of this church. Guatemala, I don't want to insult your wisdom, but I just decided to bring them up, you know, of Guatemala is south of Mexico and north of El Salvador and Honduras, Central America. It's a beautiful country. This time, Becky and I, we traveled from Jutiapa, very close to El Salvador, all the way to Guatemala City, Antigua Guatemala, and Quetzaltenango, if I can find it. Quetzaltenango, right there. And then we went to San Marcos, a little bit farther down here, close to the Mexican border also. We traveled all these places preaching. God gave us good health. God gave us good weather, except one day, and He kept us safe, even though, you know, the roads and insecurity, you know, in these days are taking of them many places. We didn't have any problem at all. God blessed us, and I know that He answered your prayers and our prayers and the prayers of many men that were praying for us. The preachers that you support are concentrated more in Guatemala City, and one of them in Antigua Guatemala, and I will show you some pictures of them. I believe that you want to know them. I want to talk about Francisco, Yolanda, and Panchito Ventura. Well, that's Francisco. Francisco Ventura, a preacher that you support. She is Yolanda, his wife. But I said Panchito. Well, she's not Panchito, she's Becky. This guy is me, so I'm not Panchito. Who is Panchito? You see this little bear? That's Panchito. A parrot. They love that bird. And they made him talk like you don't have an idea. You will laugh when you go there and visit them and hear that thing talking. It's just amazing. They talk to him like they were talking to a child. And he responded to them like he was a child. And they used to solve things. Brother Ventura has something to say, like drinks, sodas, and paper and shampoo, and that he doesn't do anymore. But as soon as somebody knocks the door, the person said, they're knocking, and they need to say, who is it? They want shampoo. And he says, and Brother Ventura said, they don't want shampoo, nobody's knocking, they're knocking. Well, I don't want to make you laugh, but I mean, that thing is amazing. I hope one day you can go there and And he cries like a baby. And when he cries, it almost make you cry also. Becky and I, that day, we just got there and we're trying to get a nap, you know, just to rest a little bit. And when Brother Francisco doesn't answer to him, he starts to get frustrated and mad. Francisco, Pancho, Pancho, where are you, Pancho? And then he starts crying. And he cries like a baby. I mean, it almost makes you cry. I mean, I'm a man. I don't need to cry, but I almost cried with him. It was amazing, that bird. Well, that Francisco Ventura and Sister Yolanda, they were so instrumental to us. He took us and he helped us in his house for 5 days. And I'll tell you more things about him. He preaches in Zumpango Church. And I want to show you some of the pictures that is in Zumpango. Zumpango is like a 35 to or 45 probably kilometers outside of the capital city. It's not far away, but if you don't know worlds of the third country of the third world, it's hard for you to imagine that traveling 35 to 45 kilometers, which is probably, 25, 28 miles, it will take you probably an hour. Well, the traffic, the roads, and things like that are not as smooth as it's here. It's different to travel there. But it's so exciting. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, I need to tell you this. Speed limits doesn't pretty much work there. Even stop signs. Stop sign, if you do a stop sign that you should, I mean, you are violating the law. Because for them, a stop sign is like in Mexico. Is just to slow down, be ready to just turn both sides and just go. Don't stop. You stop, they're going to hit you in the back and you'll be the guilty one. You need to pay for them because you shouldn't stop, even though it's a stop sign. You know? So you need to understand that. This is the church where Brother Francisco preaches in Zumpango. Brother Francisco used to preach in Guatemala City, in the capital, in a church named La Brigada. But there were some problems, brother, a preacher from Nicaragua came in, started taking places there, like something like Diotrephes in the Bible. And Brother Francisco, he's a peaceful man. He decided just to go outside. I mean, he's staying for the truth. Don't take me wrong, you know, but he was too much problems. The other preacher is a young preacher and has a lot of influence. Because he has a lot of words and he comes from Baxter Institute in Honduras, so he needed to move. And all the saints that were sounds just moved to other congregations. So now he's preaching in Zumpango. It's a very faithful and sound congregation. And we went after that night to know them better. I know that the pictures are not the best, but I want to show you some of the women, you know, still using their traditional, you know, attires that they have, and they are very hospitalitarian. You love to be among them. They really make you feel welcome, and I want to show some keep some time for my lesson because that's part of my lesson. They have good future. They have a lot of children. Any congregation in Guatemala or in Mexico has a good future if they will manage it well. That's what I told them. And every single service that I go, you have a great potential to become a strong church if you pay attention to your children. And for one reason or other, many churches are not paying attention to those children the best way that they can do. Probably because they don't have the rooms that they need to teach it. They don't have the material. For whatever reason, many churches are negligent and not attending to the children as they should. And when we go there, my wife always takes time to teach the sisters, the ladies, to teach them how to prepare a class. We give them materials, Bible, we sing little songs with them, and they enjoy it. And we told them, just keep doing this. But it's a different culture. But the gospel is powerful to throw away any culture. I don't have any doubt about it. But we just need to continue working with them. Also, Jose Maria is another preacher that you support. Jose Maria and his wife, now they're working close to Antigua Guatemala. Antigua Guatemala means the old Guatemala city. It's a beautiful, if you're thinking to retire, you want you want to check that city. Weather is perfect. It's a colonial place. If you want to go and look for a place, it's like a paradise. It is nice. And you can afford to live there. If you have some dollars. You have quetzales, you cannot afford to live there. Like many places in Mexico. But brother Jose Maria is preaching there. And this actually is a corridor on his house. That is the end of his house. And they just put a big tarp. As you can see, it's a blue tarp that covers the porch. And this is the church building right now. Brother Jose Maria, he has a good spirit. He is, let's see if I can find the word, he is composing songs to sing to the Lord. And he sings to us probably, I don't know, 20, 25, beautiful, and not just beautiful, but very well saying, you know, very root on the Bible. That's his wife and one of his daughters. He has several daughters. And this is the congregation there in Palin. He's preaching in Palin, very close to Antigua Guatemala. I'm going to speed up a little bit because I also want to say something with the Bible. Jeronimo, that's another preacher that you support, Jeronimo Cox. Unfortunately, I didn't get him with his wife and his children. But we were here in a house of Brother Ruben Colop, which is another preacher there. Brother Jeronimo Cox is preaching in Urbina, and I want to show you several pictures about Urbina. Urbina, probably in Quetzaltenango, is one of the strongest churches. I will say that they will have probably, I didn't count it, but I will say 65, 70 members there. Not just Jeronimo's working there, but I'm going to show you some pictures. Also, Brother David Rife preaches there, or worked with him there. And the church here is very well organized. They have a very good building. I can see the hand of Brother David Rife helping them there in so many ways, not just on the building, but on the teaching and the way that they are organized. And they're working very good together, these brethren. David Rife and his family. You can see Sister Amy and her three little girls, and they have two more. Many of you will probably know David, but since I met David, I told everybody, we as a Christians, but you as American, should be so proud about him and his family. I have not known any brethren with so much sacrifice life. That's the way I see it. He never told me nothing. That's the way I perceive it. Like him. It's not easy to go and live where he's living. The way he's living. The house he built. He lives probably, I don't know, a kilometer and a half from his house. There's no paved roads. And like many other people, instead of coming on his truck to services, he just takes his children, his wife, and start coming down walking many times to the services. That itself is a good example. I mean, we are also very, very attracted to the things that we have here. So easy to get in the car, turn on the air condition, and let's go to church. Why? I don't need to walk. But when he comes walking with his children, with his wife, the way that they carry the children, not here, but on the back, that sets a good example. The first time I met David, I was getting to Urbina, and I saw an American. I mean, you recognize an American like that. Guatemala's a chore and kind of dark. And I saw that tall guy, you know, blonde guy. He was in the middle of the road, getting off his truck and trying to get somebody from the wheelchair, carrying to his car, and then put the wheelchair on the top of his car. And that was David. It was at any common day. Nobody has to see it. But when I saw that, I said, this is a great symbol. And because of him, many people are coming to church. It's hard for you to understand the way that Hispanic perceive the American culture. How in the world one American will be doing that for us? We're just Hispanics. They don't understand. that Americans, when we're Christians, we're the same. Aren't we? We are the same. We don't have differences in the church. And he's doing that. He's telling them, I'm one of you. I'm just one like you. I'm a servant of God. A good worker. David is a good preacher also. I saw him here, his daughter, and all their children there. But that's the church in Urbina. Two families that decide to do what is right. Why? What I'm saying is, this is Brother Bernabe, Sister Erlinda, and Suseli. They were here not many months ago. They were part of the church here in North Jefferson Street. We baptized them here. But with this problem that we have with undocumented people, with illegal people, the church in North Jefferson Street, we decide to say, to preach what is right. And when we decide to do that, we lost almost the whole congregation. We're just a few now. He couldn't handle it anymore. He said, Brother Basilio, I know that I'm wrong. For me staying here legally, I'm sinning against God. And it's time for me to go back. And they decided to do that last year. And now when I saw them there, worshiping God, leading songs, praying, and being very involved and active in the church, I told him, that's what you were losing over there. And he says, smiling, yes, I knew it. But it was hard for me to make a decision. Now he's there. We praise the Lord because they made that decision. As soon as they get there, she got baptized. And I told him, one day probably, because she's an American, she was born here, you can come here legally. They say, yes, we're going to pray for that. But they decide to do what is right. Another family, Victor and Sister Sylvia and some of their children. A same situation with the exemption that he was deported before he made the decision. But then he told his wife, you got to come back. And now they're there. And they're worshiping with a faithful church and doing what is right. And I told them, you need to help us from there. You tell your family, your relatives, and the brethren that you know, look what I'm doing. Look the opportunity that we have here now. When we were there, we didn't have the privilege to be praying and singing and preaching like we want to because we were not being given part in the Bible because we were sinning. But now we have a great opportunity. And they did that. And we really are so pleased with them. And hopefully we still have some in the church where I preach that they still need to make that decision. Hopefully they can do that. We cannot tell them, you got to go back. We cannot tell them, we cannot force it, I'm sorry. Because that's not my part. I'm not God, I'm not immigration. But I need to tell them, you're wrong. You have to do some arrangement with God and with the law here. Because living the way that you're living, you're just lying. And that's not the legacy of Christian. You're telling people that you are so-and-so when you're not. And they're becoming to understand better that situation. An excellent example, this church in, I always forget the name, but I want to say Bella Vista. Probably I'm mistaking the name, okay? I know that Becky is already laughing because I always forget the name. It's something about Bella Vista. Bella Vista means beautiful sight. And it's something, if I'm mistaken, it will be another term, but it will be the same thing, beautiful sight. And really, it's a beautiful place there. And let me tell you what is an excellent example. This church is, I saw different things over here. And how can I get there? I mean, it's so spiritual. They work themselves to build that kind of building without help, asking for help to anybody in Guatemala or here in the United States. They just work to do that, and they're so proud about it. How can I get there? Well, you got to wake up early because services start at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 8 o'clock in the morning. So that means breakfast is at 6:30. Okay? Don't you love that? To wake up early and having a breakfast at 6:30 in the morning because worship service at 8 o'clock. Okay? Well, that brother doesn't see too much of happy right now, but it was Sunday in the morning and they were already serving rice, Mexican rice, 6:30 in the morning. How can you like that? Do you like that? Scrambled eggs with Mexican rice. You say, nah, you would like to have some Jiffy's, how do you call it, biscuits and things like that. I know that. I know. But to me, it was okay, you know. It was okay. Even though at 6:30, the rice doesn't appetize too much to me. But still, we need to eat. Then, what's next? Well, you got to be ready to walk several kilometers. You see Sister Becky there trying to accommodate her ponytail the best she can. And look at Sister Calixto is ready. He's on his suit. That Sister Calixto, they told me this story. Now you look at him, you know, with his suit and with the bread, and he was ready to go. But before he was a Christian, he was just a drunk man. And he was molesting. It's a different connotation, the word molesting in English. He was just bothering the church before he was a Christian. When the brethren were gathering together to worship God, he was drinking, he was singing just worldly songs, you know, and made all kind of noises just to disturb the church when they were worshiping. And I look at him. Now he's ready. 7:30, he's ready. He has the Lord's Supper with him, and he wants to be there as soon as he can. That Sixto Calixto is a good brother. And when he sings the song, I have not seen, well, I saw one brother over there in Houston, but it's like he's declamating something. He feels what he's singing. When he sings to God, he really wants to show with his body that he's immersed. He's thinking, he's doing what the song says. And you love people that sings like that. Well, we were ready. Last but not least, when to go there, you have to climb a little hill, and you're there. You have, high heels doesn't work too much there, okay? Becky had it there, and you see from here, doesn't look like it's a top team, you know, but once you're there, you will see. I saw a picture, you know, from the top to the bottom. It's just different. So you gotta wake up early, get your breakfast, your rice and scrambled eggs, and then go there, and be ready for church, because at 8 o'clock in the morning, they will start there. Lessons that I learned. You have heard that every time you do a trip, you learn something. I did learn a lot. Yes, we went there trying to teach them, and I did that, but also I learned a lot of things from them. Due to so many reasons in our society, we forgot who we are. That's one thing that I learned. They have not forgotten who they are. They know that they are Christians. And they want to show their Christianity everywhere, at every moment, in any place. I see a difference between them and us. Much of the problem in the church today centers around the fact that one very important principle has been forgotten. We have forgotten who we are. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the all uttermost part of the earth. You shall be my witnesses. That's exactly what God wants us to be. And I have just a few minutes to explain to you what a witness means. This promise is not just for the apostles. You and I should be also witness of God changing power. Our life itself, it has to be a witness what God has made in us. Like Brother Calixto. We don't need to try to be a witness. We are. When God says the Holy Spirit will come, He didn't say He's going to try to convert you in a witness. No. You shall be my witnesses. The priority is a person coming. And when the empowering person descends, this is the priority. It happens to be a lifetime occupation. So that what this means is, you shall be my witnesses. You cannot go out there on Thursday night, for example, or Saturday night, for an hour of visitation and say, you know what, I did it. I'm a Christian. I did it. You cannot put a fish on your bumper and say, wow, am I a testimony of what? Don't you see my bumper? I'm one that belongs to God. You cannot put $100 in the plate and say, I did my part. That is not what God intends attempted for us to be. For 1 hour, we cannot be content or happy. Just to bring that bumper doesn't mean nothing. Putting all the money in the church, if we don't feel and we don't live as a Christian, it doesn't mean nothing to God. The Bible is full of samples. Paul says to the Corinthians chapter 13, if we don't have love, if we don't have the passion, if we don't feel what we're doing, we're just nothing. It's vain. Two ways to serve as a witness. Much of the church testimony is discredited by its lack of character. As somebody says so well, the church that once told the world to repent is now being told by the world to repent. It looks sometimes that we're losing the battle as a church. We are discredited. We're losing our influence. We're not witnesses. We have to change that. We still need to be the ones that we don't kneel against the vow. You can serve as a witness through the way you love, and I don't have time to explain more details this, but we can serve as a witness through the way that we live. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, a great passage. A passage that really, brethren, make us think about it. It is so beautiful, the passage that we read there. Let me read it. Chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20. Paul says to the brethren in Galatians the following words. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's a great passage. Those are beautiful words. Words that I would like to have on my refrigerator to put it on my wall and say, you know what? This is what I feel that I want to live. But one way is to say it and another way is to live it. And that's our challenge. We all are be challenged by God to live like that. Not to live for us, but to live for Him. He gave Himself for us. What are we doing for Him? And that's part of the problem in the church. Here in America, in Mexico, in Guatemala, wherever, the church is losing the battle because we are forgetting who we are. We can be a witness through the words we speak. And again, I'm sorry for the time. To ask me which way is more important would be like ask the pilot which wing on his airplane is more important. We need both. We cannot live without one. We need both. It says a lot of the way that we think. I know that you have a lot of examples in English, but I always love that example that man that was a soldier all his life, and when he retired, he still wanted to be recognized as a soldier, and the way that he walks, very straight, you know, the way that he put his belt, and the way that he cut his hair, and the way that he talked, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, please. He was easily identified as a soldier. Why we as a Christian, we cannot do the same thing? That people recognize whatever we are. That we're Christians. That we're witness of God. Then the world will be changed. By the power of God. By the influence that God has put in us. It's not that hard. We just decide not to do. And that's what I learned over there. You see every Christian being a good preacher. And not just from the not from the pulpit. They still need to do. Still need to learn a lot from the pulpit. But in their life, I just cannot teach them nothing. How to serve. How to be hospitalitary. How to welcome people, how to sing, how to pray. I cannot teach them better than they are doing it. Our similarities with the church, the first century church. First, they faced a population with a little or no knowledge of the gospel. We're doing the same thing. Believe me. Yes, this world is very well educated in so many areas. But religiously, in the Bible, they're just ignorant. There's so many ignorant people. And I'm not saying to bother people, but that is the truth. There's so many people that they don't know, and they don't want to know God's will. They're ignorant. And
the one who has the responsibility to teach is us. That's why you're learning here, kids. That's why your parents want you to be here to learn, because one day you need to go outside and tell the people the will of God. That's what my mom told me. That's what I told my children. We have to win the world. Secondly, their society was a pluralistic society with many gods and many religions. We need to teach them that this world is going to pass. And thirdly, the witnesses of the first century faced hostile society with potential of persecution. We are doing the same thing. And brethren, now many people don't like us when we start talking about certain topics. I'm sorry. We need to. We have to call the way, the scene, the way it is. We're going to lose our popularity. I was invited to preach almost every year to Pasadena, to Houston area. And we start preaching about this, Romans 13, and be submitted to the law. Nobody invites me anymore. Rev. Basilio doesn't have love for the immigrant people. Rev. Basilio hates the immigrants. That's not true. But we still need to talk. How do you reach the first and the 20th century church people? Jesus Christ said, you can't. So I'm going to send my Spirit empower you. So that he through you can. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. The plan. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth. In other words, if you want to know whether you are accomplishing the plan, take a look at the product. Matthew 28 verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What is the product? Disciples. Other witnesses. And that's exactly the church today has for the most part forgotten the plan. Make disciples. Make witnesses. We have learned to come to church and be very obedient and being sanctified for an hour. But after that, it's Sunday. It's summer. He's young. Don't worry. That's part of his life. That's not true. Where to start? We are to start in Jerusalem. That is home. Home is the toughest place to reach. Do you know that? The people know you, grew up with you, work with you. We are to start there, but not to stop there. What is your Jerusalem? What is that God has placed you? A witness on the stand to testify in defense of the Lord through your life and with your lips. The church must return to the basic truth. Listen to this. According to this passage, you are not a computer technician, salesman, executive, painter, secretary, or teacher. That is what you do. But instead, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. Something to think about it. I'm going to be very quick with this. The apology or Aris, I don't know how you say it in English, but in Spanish we say Aristides. But because it's a Greek name, don't worry. You weren't pronouncing right. I don't pronounce it right. It's Greek. Okay? So the apology or Aristides. Well, that man is a philosopher. I don't know if he was Christian, but he says this. The Christians persuade others to become Christians by the love they have for them. And when they have become so, they call them without distinction brothers. They do not worship strange gods, and they walk in all humility and kindness. And if there is among them a man that is poor and needy, they fast 2 or 3 days that they might supply the need with the necessary food. They live honestly and soberly as the Lord they command them. They praise and laud God, and over their food and their drink, they render Him thanks. And if any righteous person of the number passed away from this world, they rejoice and give thanks to God. And they speak of His body as though He were moving from one place to another. Such is the love of Christian, as such is their conduct. Is that true in us also? He wrote that to Adriano, one of the in the second century. An apology, you know, is a letter in behalf of somebody. And he did that to the Christian. Just saw him there. If that is still true in us, I hope it is. It's a good way to identify God's people. For your prayers and thoughts. Thanks. And God bless all of you. If I can be in any service to you with this sermon, with my life, you know us. You know where we are. From my family and I want to thank you and thank God for the opportunity He gave me to be in front of you and talk about these things. I want to tell you, to close my lesson and my thoughts, that the brethren that you are supporting are very worthy. They're working. They're doing what they should. And I didn't go there just to see that, but when I was there, I can perceive that. The testimony that they have, the influence, the reputation, is just great. You should be proud of the men that you're supporting in Guatemala. Thank you and God bless you. I want to leave the pulpit before I make an announcement, you know, about to become as a Christian. Our life, like I said during the lesson, is a life that we should be paying attention so God can be proud of us. And tonight, here you have a group of Christians inviting you to come and to become one of us. Because we are part of God's people. And with that in mind, we'd like to invite you to come a Christian while we stand and sing the song. Thank you.